Everybody have a sheet? Anybody need a sheet? Put your hand up. Good. We're in good shape. Continuing our series, which we started 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, Draper Baptist membership class. This is what we take anyone through who is interested in joining our church. If they're interested in being baptized, we take them through the baptism part, which we've discussed. But we're at class number six, part number six in our series, How to Grow as a Christian. How to grow in Christ. And this may be it's not the most important. Obviously, salvation is the most important one, which we've already discussed. But this is one that's very important for us. We don't want to just be a babe as a Christian. We don't just want to come to Christ and then just stay about as mature as we were when we came. We want to be more like Christ. That's the goal. We want to be just like the Savior. And that's the topic this morning. So we'll fill in the blanks as we go through the sheet. But Lord, we just thank you for the time of prayer already. Thank you, Lord, for that powerful part of our service. Maybe the most important part, that we can just realize that we can come to you anytime, Lord, and to know that you hear us. I thank you, Lord, for the ones who shared, Lord, the ones who prayed, Lord, and the ones who prayed privately. Lord, we're just so thank you for that. So thankful for that gift of prayer as we're about to talk about. We thank you for the ancient words of the Bible, Lord, that are still relevant for us today. The world is trying to get rid of it. We certainly see people hating it, hating the name of Christ. And yet, Lord, we pray that your will would be done in us and through us. Thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This has nothing to do with this message, really, other than on Friday, I was out of town and my phone beeped. And my cousin, who I haven't seen for years, her husband was a pastor. They were missionaries to Puerto Rico, and they're down in Texas, I believe. But I haven't seen her for a number of years. And all it's on my phone, it said, "Can you believe this?" So I didn't know what it was. So I went in, and she had sent me a video of a church down in the Texas area. Said, "You're not going to see this on the news," but they asked people to please share it. A church that had been around for 60 to 70 some years, had a big cross on its steeple. And I assumed it was the pastor, was saying, "Please share this. The world needs to see what's going on here, because if this comes down, churches are about to be destroyed." And a wrecking crew was coming in and taking the cross down because people said it was a statue that offended them. So that's where we are in our society. I don't know, you're not going to see that on the news probably. I haven't heard anything from my cousin. But she wrote to me, "Ron, if this church loses, all churches are going to lose." And that's true. I said, it's already begun. Because Christians are being silent. We're not standing up for our rights. And a very, 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 very small minority of people are being offended by everything. And I wondered when they were taking down all the statues of Civil War stuff and all the things that have been going on we've heard over the last couple of weeks, when was it going to affect the church? When was someone going to say, "That cross bothers me," or "That steeple bothers me"? Well, it's happening. So we need to pray drastically for our nation. Because if Christians remain silent, it's not going to be over. Christ is not going to be defeated. The church is not going to be, the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it, but the church is certainly weakened. So as individuals making up this body of Christ, how do we grow in Christ? What do we need to do? And all of this is going to be pretty routine stuff for us. We know it. But how to grow as a Christian, deciding to receive Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior and Lord is the most important decision in life. That's the key. But when you receive Christ, you were born into God's family and you received everything you need to live an abundant Christian life. But you were born a spiritual baby. And I've mentioned this song before, too. I know Amy Grant had one when we were in Bible college called, what was it called, Cheryl? Something about being a baby, and just said, "Am I going to stay on formula the rest of my life, or are we going to grow and become a child of God?" That was the point. But we're born a spiritual baby, but we want to grow in maturity to Christ. Just as physical life requires air, food, rest, and exercise to mature properly, So does the spiritual life require certain things for growth and development. So how do we do that? How do we move from being this newborn child of God, this newborn Christian, and maybe some of us have been Christians for 40 and 50 years and we're still pretty small in our faith. What do we need to do to grow in Christ? Well, first, we must read the Bible. That's the first blank you need to fill in. We must read the Bible, and that's why that song, Ancient Words, was chosen for this morning's service, because we need to read the Bible. And people will ask us, how can you trust in a book that was written, you know, thousands of years ago? It has nothing to do with today. It has nothing that can say about 2017. Why would you read a book that was written so long ago? Well, we believe that it's the key. One would not think of going without physical food for a week or even a day. Some of us have a hard time going more than an hour or two. Physical food is necessary for physical life. Without food, one becomes weakened or sick. Lack of spiritual food produces the same results in our spiritual lives. I usually get up at... Cheryl's usually up during the school. She's usually up by 5:45, and I'm usually up around 6 or so. Feed the dog, have my breakfast, have my devotions. And then I'm hungry again about 8 o'clock. But I don't usually eat lunch until somewhere between 10:30 and 11. And then I'm hungry by the time they come home from school and they're ready for dinner at 5 or 6. I'm hungry because I hadn't eaten since 10:30 or 11. And she'll say, Cheryl always says to me, she goes, eat your breakfast, eat your lunch later. Well, I would if I was hungry later. I'm hungry at 10:30, I'm going to eat. So I don't usually put off too much time between my eating. But yet we do that spiritually. Sometimes we can go a few days. Some of us maybe have gone weeks or months without spending time in the Word of God, having a personal quiet time. I'm sad to say this, but if I skip out on my devotions with the Lord, it doesn't affect me near as much as going till 1 or 2 to eat. I'm hungry by the afternoon, but I'm not as spiritually hungry when I skip time with the Lord, and I don't know why that is, but after a while, it does catch up with me, and I realize, man, I haven't spent time with God this morning. I haven't prayed with Him today, and that's the way it needs to be for us. But I wish my spiritual hunger was as deep as my physical hunger can be at times. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. How did He say that we should be nourished? And you don't have to answer these questions, but I want you to think them through in your mind. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? So we are nourished by feeding on the Word of God, by spending time in it. And I think Billy said a few weeks ago that he reads through the Bible. I can't remember, you were going through, was it Numbers or something you were just in a few weeks ago? Yeah. So sometimes when you read through, I'm just finishing up the Minor Prophets. I'll be done reading through the Bible this year about the middle of November. And I only read 3 pages a day. A few years ago, I was reading through twice a year, 6 pages a day, and that wasn't hard. But I've cut it down to 3 pages a day, and I'll be done reading through it again. I don't know how many years I've done that, but it's great. But I hate going through Leviticus and Numbers, and it's kind of, okay, I know it's here for a reason, God, but I'm not seeing it in my life today. And sometimes he'll point out something to me, but I need to be very careful. We need to be very careful, not just to read the Bible just to get through it, not just to say, I did it again this year and check it off my list, but allow the Word of God to speak to us. And He says, you grow, you live, you survive by every word that comes out of my mouth. Letter B, He says, why is reading God's Word so important? Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's the word theopneustos, He breathed it out. God literally breathed out the Scripture. It's all breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So what is it good for? You can fill in these blanks. It's good for teaching. It's good for correcting. It's good for rebuking us. That doesn't mean slapping us upside the head. It could mean that. But it is. It could just be reminding us, kind of rebuking us in a gentle way. It's good for training us. It's good for showing us what we need to do. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. So, and then verse 105 in Psalm 119, but it's talking about what it's good for here. What is the result in your life when we read God's word? And again, not just read it, but meditate on it. It's good for conviction. It's good for direction. When people tell me, it might be a lifestyle they're living, it might be something that they, in their mind, would know is wrong, but they'll say, well, I'm just not feeling convicted by that. You know they're not spending time in God's word. Because God will not allow us to live in sin and say, well, I'm not feeling bad about my sin. When we live according to God's word, allow his word to penetrate our hearts and minds, we will have conviction, we will have clarity and direction from God. We must pray. Point number two, we must pray. And that's why this morning was just so special. If those prayers had gone on, we would have just kept going. We wouldn't even bother taking time to do this because that was such an important time for us and just such a good time as we shared. Just hearing the kids share their prayer requests and things that were important to them. And they had the faith that, hey, if we ask, God's going to answer. So we need to pray. And prayer is simply speaking with and praising God as our loving Heavenly Father. And here's some things that we, under letter A, we pray about our worries. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And the result of that, when we pray about our concern, when we pray about our struggles, we have God's peace. It says the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be ours. So when we pray about our worries, when we pray about like what we just did this morning, when we pray about our children, when we pray those unspoken requests, when we pray about those who are physically suffering, when we pray about those who have cancer, when we pray for those who are dealing with addiction in their families, and we pray for our church, God can give us peace when we share that. God, I'm worried about this. I don't see an end in this. Lord, please answer. We need to pray specifically. In John chapter 16, verse 24, slipping my mind here for some reason. Anybody know what that says? I'll look it up here real quickly. John 16, 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Sorry about that. He says, pray specifically in John 16, 24. And it's important to pray specifically because just general prayers are good, but we're not blessed by that. It's important for us to list before God because God already knows what's going on. He wants us to talk to him about that. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Pray continually. And I do want to ask this question. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? What does it mean to pray continually? Can someone give me an answer for that? Good. That's exactly what it is. John Maxwell said, praying continually. He had a friend who was a pastor who was his prayer partner. And I think we showed this when we talked about the prayer partner ministry when I first came. John Maxwell said, this man, he's just praying constantly. He said, he can go to God and God knows him by name. He said, I don't pray enough. He said, every time I go to God, I got to knock on the door and introduce myself. Hey, God, this is John Maxwell. Praying continually is not having to introduce ourselves to God every time. I don't want to make it sound like I do this perfectly, because I certainly don't. But Linda had on a prayer request this week about Martin having a job interview, and I just said just real quickly when I read it, God just bless this. I don't know the situation, but bless it. And I just wrote to her and said praying. I've had a friend who just was gone down to Maryland. Cheryl Joyce Butler was gone down to Maryland and had a stroke while they were driving. So she's in the hospital down in Baltimore area, and she typed it on her social media and just said I don't know what's going on, but they're telling me I've had a stroke. Just would you pray? And I just typed, Joyce, just pray. What that is when you hear something, just go into God and say, God, I don't know the answer, but just bless this. When I heard about the riddles the other day, I just almost cried, but just God, pray. As soon as Dave wrote to me yesterday about Viv, I just said, God, just touch Viv. Just help this surgery to go well. And I prayed with her yesterday. That's what that is. It's just not having to in a wait till your morning devotions to get down on your knees before God, but just being able to pray anytime, recognizing that it's God's throne room is open 24 hours a day to us, and there may be a billion people praying at the same time, but God hears us. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to make an appointment. God hears us, and that's what praying continually is all about. And again, it's not having to think that possibly that God's not hearing me, to know that he is hearing me. Number three, we must have fellowship with other Christians. Fellowship is spending time and doing things with those we love, and it's vital for Christian growth. It's important for us. It's important for us to spend time together on a Sunday morning. That's why Russ and I all the time, when we hear you guys, as soon as we say, go ahead and greet one another, man, it's loud. It's neat to hear that, because there's some churches, like I can tell you, there's some churches that don't do that. They get together and it's very, very quiet, and people come in late, they walk out quick, and there's not a whole lot of joy, a lot of celebrating. I think we appreciate being together. And that's part of fellowship. Under that letter A, as God's children, we should not neglect meeting together. Hebrews tells us that. Do not put aside meeting together. And what's the result of fellowship? Well, there's a lot more than just these four, but I put down encouragement. It's encouraging to see one another here. It's encouraging if we had more, but it's encouraging with the ones who do come out and realizing that we're a body of Christ. We're a family. We support one another. That's what we did this morning in our prayer time. We're just supporting and letting others know that we care about them. We're going to pray for them and continuing to supporting them as God brings those requests this morning to you throughout the week. Is just saying, in that attitude of continual prayer, saying, hey, God, you just brought Billy, Sue, and Mark to mind today, or you brought the Kleins to me today. Lord, just with what they're dealing with, just work, give them peace, give them strength, and work in the situation. It doesn't have to be a whole lot more than that, but that's supporting, learning, and correction. And the question that I have there is, you can answer this yourself, you know. If we spend 90% of our time with non-Christians and 10% with Christians, which group will have a greater influence in our lives? Obviously, it's going to be the non-believer. Now, please, please, please understand, I'm not saying don't have non-Christian friends, because it's very, very important that you do, because you need to be the one that reaches them. You need to be the light in their darkness. But if that's all you do, is you spend all your time with non-Christian friends or non-Christian family even, they're going to influence you more than you're going to influence them. So it's important to be together, meet together, pray together at prayer meeting, to be together on Sunday mornings, to serve together in Awana, to serve together the Lord. Number four, and you can put different things here. I have, we must stand, we must share, we must witness for Christ, but I put, we must stand for Christ, because that's something I think is lacking in our world today, is Christians who are willing to stand up and be counted for Christ. But a witness is a person who tells what he has seen and heard. I've only had to be a witness once in a courtroom, and it wasn't really pleasant, because I had to testify against someone I knew. But all I was asked to share was what I had experienced being with the group, being with these people. The one defending attorney tried to trip me up and say, but what happened? What's your opinion on this? I said, I don't know. I don't have an opinion. This is what I've seen. And then the judge and the other lawyer was trying to, you know, what's the word when I object. Thank you. Yes. I should have known that. I've spent time in courtrooms before. I object. And they can't ask me to give my opinion. I can just share what I've seen. And that's what a witness does. He shares his personal experience. Every believer is to tell others what Christ has done for them. Let me turn back to Romans 1. Has anybody turned back there yet? Feel free to look ahead in Scripture and some of these verses. But let me read Romans 1, verses 14 and 16. I meant to put these on the screen and didn't get to do that. Paul says in Romans 1, he says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul says, I'm obligated. I am obligated to God to do this. I am eager to do it. And then he says, I'm not ashamed. That's the key. I think so many times we are ashamed. We're embarrassed to share about Christ. But Paul says, I'm obligated. I'm eager to do it. And I'm not ashamed. And then what's God, Jesus promised us in Acts 1:8, go into all the world. And he talks about Judea and Samaria. And lo, I am with you always. He promises us his presence. Can you think of someone with whom you should share the gospel? Simply explain to them how you came to Christ and explain to them the gospel for them. Here's what it can do for you. Here's what it did for me. Here's what it can do for you. Number five is we must obey God. We must always obey God. The key to consistent growth as a Christian is obedience to the will of God. Knowing what God commands will not help if we do not obey it or do not live them out. It proves that we love God. We grow as a Christian by obeying God, by spending time with him and knowing the difference between right and wrong. Number six, we need to develop a personal quiet time. Kind of lump quiet time together is reading God's word, but also praying. But quiet time is, we get to know God better by spending time with him. Pick a time and a place to take your Bible. And then you pray. Ask God to bless you as you meet together. Say, God, don't just open randomly. I remember showing a movie to the kids. It was a really good one about how to read scripture. And a guy was just thumbing the scripture. He said, I'm just going to read whatever comes to my mind or whatever my finger points at. And he stops and says, Judas went out and hung himself. And then he flipped a little bit later and says, go and do likewise. We don't read scripture that way. You just don't randomly pick out scripture. But you whether it's reading through the Bible chronologically or just picking a book in the Bible and saying, I'm going to go through this each morning and not reading through all of Romans in one day, but maybe reading a chapter. But ask God to meet with you and then read from his word. Spend time reading with it and saying, God, I want to get something out of today. And if you journal, let me put this up. If you journal, write down a part of a verse or something that you want to get to meditate on that day. And that's what letter C is. Meditate. Think seriously about what you read. And ask yourself these questions. And I've always found this helpful. Is there a promise for me to claim? Is there something that God says, if you do this, I will do this? Is there a command for me to follow? Is there a sin for me to avoid? What insight into my life or situation does this give me right now? People were saying, I just don't know. God never speaks to me. It's because you never give him an opportunity to. God's not going to write on your wall of your bedroom and say, Ron, this is what you need to do today. I might find it in scripture. I might not find a clear answer, but he's going to give me something for that day. And then pray. And we've used this word before, and you can use whatever you want, but I like this one. Pray acts. A is adoration, just praising God for what he's done. Confession, agreeing with God about what sin is in your life. That's the key. God will point it out. We just need to agree with him with it. T is thanksgiving, thanking God for specific blessings and provision. Recognizing that God has given you your child. They might be going through a difficult time right now, and think back to the times when they were such a blessing to you, and just pray, God, restore that relationship back to what it once was. But thanking him for the opportunity to face a new day. I appreciate sometimes people put on Facebook, I'm thankful today I got up out of bed. I was able to get out. I was still alive. me just mention, we went to the see a friend last week at camp and saw Randy Snavely, the guy on Family Life Network. And then Tuesday night we went to the concert in town to see King's Brass and was talking to Rick Snavely. Almost walked right past Rick. Rick goes, "Pastor Hagee." So I stood and talked to him for a few minutes. But I said, "I haven't seen you, Rick, since your dad passed away. Dick passed away, I think, June." And they said that they were called in December, just before Christmas. They were called in to go see Dick. They said, "Get all the family, if you want to see your dad one more time before he leaves this life, get everyone here." So they said a lot of the kids, or most of the kids, were all home for Christmas. So they said they went into the room, and they said he was hardly breathing. He said, matter of fact, I had to put my hand on his chest to see if it was any breath at all. And he said everyone was around the bed, and he said he kind of stirred and looked up, and he said, "What's everyone doing here?" And Rick said, "Well, Dad, they called us in, said, you know, you're about to enter eternity, and you're about to see your Savior." And Dick looked around, and he tapped himself and said, "Oh, nuts, I'm still here." He wants to be home. He wanted to be home in glory. And Rick was just saying, it was just so thankful, Lord, thanking the Lord for his dad, and said how the memorial service was such a blessing. And they heard a woman who took care of him. He was in a very private nursing home. Randy told me this story. But he said that the woman that was there, Dick shared with her all the time. He said, "I'm just really concerned." Say her name was Sue. "Sue, I'm just really concerned that you're going to spend eternity, that I'll see you in heaven someday." She goes, "Dick, don't worry about it." He said the next day, he said the same thing. And for a few days, just kept saying, "Sue, do you know Jesus? Are you ready when you die?" And she said, "Dick, don't worry about that." She said, when she was a teenager, she's in her 40s or 50s now. He said, "When I was a teenager, I went forward at one of the Family Life rallies." And she said, "You asked people to come forward. I raised my hand. Then you called us up." And she goes, "You privately took a group of us." She goes, "You led me to Christ, Dick," probably back in the 60s. And I said, "Man, that's so awesome that Dick was a witness, an evangelist right up to the end, that he was concerned about people." But that's something you can be thankful for. But be thankful for the things that God gives you. And then supplication is praying for others and ourselves. Just like we did this morning, just praying to God and just talking to God. So these are important things for us to learn how to do is to grow as a Christian. I'm sure you're all doing most of them. Maybe you're doing all of them. But let's make it a priority to grow in Christ and to be more like Christ more tomorrow than we are today. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your love to us and your concern for us. I thank you for your blessings. I pray, Lord, you would just bless in the remainder of our day, use us for your glory and give us a good week in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go ahead. Barb, if you want to play, just let us.